You're Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
My name's Joe DiBiase. I have a Nickelodeon song stuck in my head.
And I'm Jordan Hanskin. And, I've had a lot of trouble studying for a final exam for grad school.
Oh, I was going to say, not because like the Euros are going on or something is the reason you're having trouble?
No, it's just, I think I've never taken a summer class before, and it's very hard to motivate yourself. But it's open notes, so I think I'll do okay.
Oh, love open notes.
I read the books, so that's better than people usually do in college, huh?
Yeah, there were not two better words in school than open notes. You find me two better words, the best two words in sports or in school. They say the best two words in sports is game seven. The best two words in sport in school is open notes. That's what I say.
No homework.
I mean, I guess. Yeah.
That
might be better. Snow day. We could think of snow day. Open notes is up there for sure.
Early dismissal
is good. What would cause that? Or no, it would be pre-planned. We would know
half
ahead of time.
Half day.
Yes.
Half day middle school, getting out at 10:30 was nonsense.
Oh, it was amazing.
Why were we there?
You're there for a couple hours, you go home.
We watch a movie, and then we go home.
Right. You wouldn't even do anything during the half day. You would do nothing.
You wouldn't have time to do anything.
The teachers would be like, what's the point? Why? Like, let's just hang out, I guess. Socialization is what it was for. This is the Locked On Sabres podcast. Not a lot on the Sabres today. We don't have a specific team to talk about. We do have a Blue Jackets kind of blurb to talk about from Aaron Portsline of The Athletic. And then we've got some silliness. We recorded a couple days ago our top five Disney songs. So we're just going to go ahead and plug that in for the back half of today's show. And I've got another silly topic, if we can handle two on the same show. It's summer. It's July 24th. There's not much going on. And I feel like people are up for stuff like that anyway when we get into it. So we'll get into that in a second. Let's do that now. We'll sandwich the Sabre thing in between. I was debating with Shope and Bulldog on the afternoon show today, which also, not much to talk about. So we got into chips. How did we get into chips, by the way? We were talking about, Bulldog's legendary Frito take, that they are awful and they smell like stinky foot cheese. So we were talking about that, and Mike just kind of blurted out, all right, number one chip, go. And I had an answer that maybe I'll mention here. Bulldog had an answer, and Mike comes out with plain wavy, the big red bag Lay's. And I'm like, okay, well, they're only good with dip. And he's like, I need the dip. I'm like, okay, well, then you can't rank it as the number one chip, because if it needs the dip to be good, then it absolutely can't be the number one chip. And I think the recant to that is, well, if it's the best chip for dip, then it does deserve to be number one. So where do you fall in this? A wavy Lay's, plain wavy Lay's being considered for the best chip in the world.
See, I think it's wrong, because if it needs the dip, it's can't stand by itself. It's exactly like the Michael Jordan debate, right? Like, or like the Michael Jordan, like, oh, is LeBron it needed a super team, or like wavy Lay's. Yeah, maybe it's not the same as that debate, but it's like, who's the MVP? Dame Lillard or LeBron? LeBron's got a great team. Dame Lillard doesn't.
Yep.
Or like, you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those debates. Yeah. It's like, is it the guy that his team would stink without, like when Taylor Hall won MVP?
Right.
Or is it a guy that's like on the great team that just happens to score a ton, say like Austin Matthews? Like, it's one of those debates. And I think that usually the MVP should be the guy that the team cannot live without. If you take that player off that team, how bad is that team?
Right.
And that's why Aaron Rodgers, like, I thought deserved to win. Because I thought if Aaron Rodgers wasn't on the Packers last year, I don't think they would have won 13 games.
They would have won
Whereas
five
games. If the Chiefs and the Bills, I think they could hang around. Like, I think they could hang on.
I see what you mean. I agree with everything you're saying. That's why I was staunchly against it. And that also came up because I went shopping. We're doing this big fantasy football getaway weekend. Me and Jordan are in the same league. And I was doing some of the shopping for it today. And I got down into the chip aisle. And I was trying to figure out what to do. Like, okay, well, you've got these big boxes of like the bunch of mini bags. Like you can get 30 mini bags, or you can get 50 of the snack size bags, but they have the quantity of each kind of like spaced out. And what I realized on both is that they go heavy on the crunchy Cheetos. So I'm guessing crunchy Cheetos don't sell as much as like salt and vinegar. You would have like in a box of 50, 4 salt and vinegar and 16 crunchy Cheetos. What kind of ratio is that? So I decided to deviate from that entirely, and this will be news to you. Nobody else in the group knows what I purchased yet. So well, I'm going to break the news here on the Locked On Sabres podcast.
Oh my.
See if anybody's listening. Of the chips that I selected for our getaway weekend, big party size bags. I got Funyuns. Thoughts immediately. How are you? Yeah. Are you a Funyun guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Average? Bye. Is it even a chip? It's a snack, no. I guess.
It's a chip. I would call it a chip, I guess. It's in the category.
Would it be in your chip rankings?
I don't like Funyuns that much.
So no.
They would be on my list.
How deep would you have to go? Like 50 deep to get to
see my list would be boring though. Like
oh no.
Do you want to do the reveal or do you want me to say what chip I like? Or
let me do the reveal and then okay. We'll get your thoughts. I went with the cheddar and sour cream Ruffles.
I'm not enjoying this right now.
Wow, Jordan's against the who doesn't like the cheddar and sour cream
fun
Ruffles?
Fun fact.
Elite.
My brother got, we were playing golf, and my brother got, I was like, oh, I'll have one of those cheddar and sour cream ones. And guess what it was? It was cheddar and horseradish.
Oh, no, that's terrible.
It stunned my senses.
Yeah, it's
I did get a par on the hole, but I was in delirium. Maybe it made me play better. My mind was foggy.
Can I just make that the quote? Like, can we provide no context for what this episode is? And our little quote graphics we do for the tweet just go. I was in delirium, but I parred the hole.
I was in delirium, but I parred the hole.
Yeah. And then I also got, the spicy nacho Doritos.
Excellent. That would be my number one. So there
nice.
You go.
I go those over the nacho, the plain nacho.
They're way better.
Right. The nacho cheese Doritos, I'll never go for them because there's just an upgraded version of it everywhere. Why would yes. I ever? Yeah.
To me, I'll never get regular Cheez-Its again either. Because extra toasty is so much better.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with white cheddar there.
I go white cheddar is also excellent. But
yes.
Have you ever had the extra toasties?
I don't think I have. I've had the Cheddar Jack
ones. The extra toasty Cheez-Its are literally the biggest Ooh. Game changer of all time.
Okay.
And they said it was the number one most requested. Like people just love the burnt Cheez-Its when they got the regular one. And they were like, can you just make a box of the burnt ones? And it's so good.
And they did.
I can't explain to you how good the extra toasty Cheez-Its are.
I'll have to try them. I know this is who had this take? Somebody in media had this take that they liked the reduced fat Cheez-Its, not because they're watching their weight, but because they're crunchier. And maybe this is kind of the same vibe that you're going for, but maybe the extra toasty are even better than that. Okay, I have not experienced these, so I'll have to. And then the final bag of chips I got was just Cool Ranch Doritos. Can't go wrong with Cool Ranch Doritos,
excellent.
Right?
Yeah, no, they're all reliable. I think they used to be the number one.
Yeah, they wouldn't be my number one, but they might be the most universally beloved chip out
there.
They
do have a big like downside is that they stick in your mouth way too long. Like the taste lingers.
It's with you for that can be a good thing. It depends. I guess maybe not.
I'm surprised there's no barbecue chip on here. People don't like barbecue.
I'm not a big barbecue guy. The one barbecue, I don't like classic Lay's barbecue. I don't like them. I like, they are bottom tier for my, if I were going to go
for cheese puffs count
as barbecue.
No,
chip?
No, it's a chip. Cheese puffs are good.
Yeah, they count. I think all these like kind of snack bagged items.
Cheese puffs have the finger issue. They get the hands.
Yeah, they stick. The barbecue though, the hickory barbecue wavy with some sour cream. Oh my, I could eat an entire bag. It's dangerous. If you give me a thing of sour cream and those Lay's hickory barbecue, I'm gonna be disgusting. It's gonna be gross. Like, I'm gonna go to town on that bag in 30 minutes. That's a dangerous combination for me. What would your number one be? The spicy nacho?
Spicy nacho Dorito. See, the Doritos are the best chip without dip. They are elite flavorings. I've had some of the crazy flavors. I think probably the number one that people love is either Cool Ranch or the sweet and spicy chili. Yep. People love the sweet and spicy chili. But I think, like, spicy nacho, have you ever had the salsa verde ones?
I have not.
The salsa verde ones are amazing too. Okay. Some of like the really out there, the new flavors are super good. Doritos, they always make those crappy ones though, don't they? They had like the Doritos jacked.
Yeah.
Oh man, like a terrible experience.
Remember the buffalo wing ones?
They were so bad. They're like thick.
No. Like the buffalo wing ones was just like you had like an inch of like that powder that they coat all their chips with. Ugh. Like it was the most that they could pack in there. It was unbelievable. And man, you could only eat a couple of them though because they were spicy. My number one would be the sweet chili Doritos, purple bag.
Okay,
the Mace Windu.
They're good.
Yeah, the Mace Windu. If you missed that line,
it's a good taste, but it's odd.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's going to do it for our little chip debate here. We've got more silliness coming your way with the Disney thing later. To get something Sabres related in here in order to qualify for being a episode of the Locked On Sabres podcast, we have one little blurb today on the Sabres, and it comes from Jack Eichel from Aaron Portsline of The Athletic. He writes, quote, "Repeatedly this week, we've been told that Columbus's involvement in trade talks for Eichel are overblown. The Blue Jackets have expressed interest in Sabre center Sam Reinhart." There was another kind of a little bit sketchier blurb from like some hockey show that had like 800-900 followers, which I'm not really confident I want to trust, that had said that the Sabres had been offered the 5th overall pick, Marchenko, their top prospect, who we talked about a little bit the other day, and Elvis Merzlikens, and Alex Teixeira, who's like a kind of like a middle six center young guy that they have. So the goalie Merzlikens, their top prospect, a middle six center that's like 23 years old, and the 5th overall pick, but not any other first, considering they have 3. If that was the Blue Jackets' offer, would you take that for Eichel?
That's not bad. How good is this prospect, right? Like,
I mean, he's really good, but he's over in the KHL. The Sabres are iffy, they're very odd when it comes to Russian prospects. They don't really ever take a chance on them. And
which is crazy because, you know,
you might have a tough time getting him over.
I think the last like 2 or 3 times we were good, we had Russian guys on our teams. So that's kind of bizarre.
Their best season ever, in my opinion, 2005, 2006, Maxim Finneganov was their leading scorer.
Right, so it's nonsense. Like it's,
but you might have a tough time. You might have a tough time getting this Marchenko to come over if he knows how bad the team is and he's lighting it up in the KHL. He might just be like, "Yeah, maybe I'll come over when you're good."
It's one of those things, though. Like, yeah, but that's okay. Like, I don't need him now.
I guess that's right.
Yeah, I don't need him now. But it's like you get the goalie who might be really good. Texier, I'm okay with. I like that he's a center. That's something of value.
Frenchman, by the way.
The pick's good. And then, I don't hate that offer. It's not terrible. But then now they're, like, out of it, you're saying, that it's overblown.
That's what Portsline is saying, and I would absolutely trust him over this other Twitter account that I was reading from. Yeah. Okay, so just something to throw in there on the Blue Jackets. There is one other hockey note that maybe we should deliberate here, because I guess it relates to the Sabres coach search, not too much. The Seattle Kraken kind of shocked the world. Nobody had them hiring Dave Hakstol, who's been working as an assistant coach for the Maple Leafs for a little bit since he got fired by the Philadelphia Flyers a couple years ago. He coached the Flyers from 2015 to 2019, 2 playoff appearances. It ended really ugly for him in Philly. I think they're planning to be bad. I mean, he was like the 10th best coach on the market, if that. The Sabres are hiring everybody, and they weren't even Hextall wasn't even on the Sabre job. So I guess this is good, right? Because it's a guy that I didn't want the Sabres to hire, and it doesn't sound like the Sabres wanted to hire.
No, it's good. The longer the Sabres go, does it feel more like Granato?
Or does it feel less
like Granato?
No, I would say it feels more and more like Granato to me.
I think so too.
Every day that passes, I think it's that. But it's been radio silent on the coach front. I think it's because the Eichel thing's going to happen next. I guess they could be waiting for somebody that's still in the semifinals, but
like they're going to do positive and then possibly. I mean, the Eichel trade though is not like a guaranteed negative. Like it could be if we got a haul, like if we got a great group of players, great group of stuff. Like if they give us, I think we've been more on the positive side with the offers that we want. And if we got one of our offers, like I'd be ecstatic. I think it would be a great day for Sabres hockey. But yeah, it's interesting. Like I think you're right. I think Eichel is going to be the first domino. But yeah, it just seems more and more like Granato. I've just actually like assumed Granato is going to be the coach.
I'm starting to do the same thing. All right. So we're going to take a timeout here. We'll get a little more silliness in when we come back. Our top five Disney songs when we come back here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. I mean, do I need to say any more? Are we good? No? 18 amazing flavors for the delicious Built Bar. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Those are the 6 new flavors to go along with your 12 original flavors. Peanut butter brownie, definitely my favorite of the original flavors. The bars are 100% covered in chocolate. They are soft and easy to chew, but Built Bar, great for the healthy conscious guy as well. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for keto diet. And if you want an example, peanut butter flavor, that's 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you will get 15% off of your next order. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Welcome back to the Locked On Sabres podcast. Joe DiBiase and Jordan Hanskin. A little of a silly segment here in the middle of the summer. It's right in between last season and next season. We do have a lot coming about a month away, but you know, some off time here. So because of the Billy Joel concert and then our discussion on Twitter earlier about the song from Oliver and Company, Why Should I Worry? We bring you our top 5 Disney songs from, according to Joe DiBiase and Jordan Hanskin. We'll start with number five. Actually, before we get to number 5, I've only got 5. Jordan's got 2 honorable mentions. You want to do those after or before?
I'll do them before. Okay. So my 2 honorable mentions were Friend Like Me from Aladdin. That's the Robin Williams genie song. Funny, fun, entertaining. And then Strangers Like Me from Tarzan. I wanted to have at least one Phil Collins.
Yeah. No. You didn't. That means you don't have a Tarzan song in your top 5.
No.
I do have a Tarzan song in my top 5. Phil Collins crushes it. I mean, some of his best work in that movie. Strangers Like Me. Okay. I like that for the honorable mention. Number 5 for me is a classic. I don't have a lot of classics in here, but maybe I do. But like old school, like oldie Disney classic. I'm going Hi Ho by Snow White.
Oh, God.
That is his cat. It is catchy and it is it's legendary. It's a legendary song.
It is.
I mean, just the whistling is synonymous. Everyone knows what that is. That little thing right there. Boom. Hi ho, number 5.
It gets in the head, I guess. It's mind numbing.
I'm getting from the sounds of your laughter, you were not even considering it.
No. I think the oldest song I have is actually the one that we've been talking about, the one that sparked this. So
okay.
I live in the 90s. So number 5 is Remember Me from Coco. So that's like the more modern one. song, Heartbreak. It's the I call it the classic Disney Pixar gut punch. It's like the where they always try to like get you in the emotional feels. And that one, if you haven't seen Coco, I recommend it to everybody that hasn't seen it yet. It's
okay.
Stunningly, like there's like a twist to it that's like extremely dark for a Disney movie that you would probably wouldn't see coming. But there's also like a lot of like, it's a good story. Good story. The song's awesome. And it's got like, it's like kind of like the folksy guitar, like acoustic guitar, like Mexican style, I guess. I don't know how to describe it. Somebody that's more musically inclined could tell me the exact genre.
Like mariachi? Folk music.
No, not like mariachi. But like,
okay.
It's like, it's just an acoustic guitar, like, and it was like a singer.
Okay. I don't know this one, so I'm going to have to go listen to it after the fact here.
Yeah.
Unless you want to sing it for everybody here, which I'm guessing you
probably I'll protect the listeners from that.
My number four is Under the Sea by Little Mermaid.
I like that song. That's a jam. That was close to my list. I love that song.
It's a great Another Disney one movie.
That's like a cool like genre music. Like that's like reggae.
Yes, like, exactly. Caribbean I love music, reggae.
Yeah.
And I love Caribbean music. I love reggae. And like I need that song is good for this. It makes me think of being in Disney World in Florida. Just because of the weather and like and like, I don't know, there's enough Little Mermaid stuff around there. There's good Little Mermaid songs, but Under the Sea, I think, is my top one.
Under the Sea is great. I wanted to have a villain song. So for my number four, I have Gaston from Beauty and the Beast. That song is hilarious. It's
wild.
And it's a jam. Both versions are good. If you saw the live action Beauty and the Beast, that one's also really funny. And good. But yeah, it's a hilarious villain song. I was close to putting on Be Prepared, but from Lion King, but that was I like this one better. The singing in Gaston is a lot better.
There is there's an app, Twitch Sings, which is like online karaoke basically. And my buddy Kyle, who you know, he picked Gaston for one of them, and I don't know if I've ever laughed harder than watching my buddy Kyle sing Gaston. It's the funniest. It's such a fast-paced song. When someone's keeping up with it, it's absolutely hilarious. All right, my number three is Why Should I Worry but in Oliver and Company by Billy Joel. That I think is a good that is like Saber song worthy.
That is a great song.
Don't you think for the like a Sabres goal song, like when playing that part of it, the arena would just like really get into it after goals? I like this for a Sabres goal song.
That's very interesting. Yeah, I kind of like it too.
Yeah.
I was thinking of it like Why Should I Worry as being kind of like when the opponent scores.
Oh,
but
I don't think that anyone's ever had.
No, but it's such a happier song. Like I kind of love it as a Sabres goal song.
I kind of like that.
Do you agree that I think they need to get rid of DJ? What is it? What's DJ the song? Milk? No, the song.
Why can't I think of it off the top of my head? Yeah. DJ Cool is
DJ Cool. Of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because I think it's not the song's fault. It's just like it is now the loser's.
Right. It's synonymous with the worst hockey you've ever seen in your life, so we need to get rid of it. All right, what's your number three?
My number three is also Why Should I Worry?
So, we're in agreement.
Yes. Gotta love Mr. Billy Joel. I stand by that. I think it's one of his best songs. I've never been to a Billy Joel concert, so I would hope that he would perform it every time. I bet he doesn't.
I would imagine he probably doesn't either.
But he should. He should open with it and close with it.
He turned down the musical role in Lion King, I think.
Wow.
So
that would have been a different movie.
If with Billy Joel doing the music, I think so. All right, my number two is my Tarzan song. I'm going with You'll Be in My Heart by Phil Collins. It's a slow one. I don't have a lot of slow ones in here, but that's a jam by Phil Collins, and he kills it. Really pulls on the heartstrings.
Tarzan's got great music, and that's another great song for sure.
Yeah.
My number two is Colors of the Wind from Pocahontas. If you hate people being mean to the environment and you love animals, this is the song for you. I think it's like a great message too. Also just with like people, like if you listen to the lyrics, just like read the lyrics of Colors of the Wind, and you'll be like, wow, that song's actually super, super good. And it's catchy. It's in a bad movie. We all know that the movie's not that great. But yeah, extremely, I think I'm more on the side of like, I like the movie Pocahontas. I know a lot of people hate it.
I don't
think that's kind of what I'm saying, but,
okay.
The music at Pocahontas is actually quite good.
Wow. Maybe there's some Pocahontas hate out there that there's never realized.
There's a lot of Pocahontas hate. There's a lot. I think it's critically, dunked on.
Okay. I didn't know that. I need to get on the Disney message boards more and see what's going on. My number one is Circle of Life by Lion King.
Mm.
It's so good. It's so good. I don't listen. Like some of these songs I'll just like listen to like on Spotify, like on my drive home. I don't think I'm doing that with Circle of Life, but man, it encapsulates the whole movie just like in one song. And yeah. It's legendary. So it's gotta be my number one.
That's great. That's I think on most lists, I actually did some looks at like rankings, and Circle of Life is always like one or two or three.
It's up there, yeah.
Yeah. That and the Pinocchio song. People love the Pinocchio song. But I think that's just because I think the Pinocchio song has become like the Disney song. Yeah. Like that's like Disney's. I think that Disney would probably put that as like, that's our marquee song. Like if you were to signify Disney and what it's, When You Wish Upon a Star and all that
right
cliche silliness. But my number one is I'll Make a Man Out of You from Mulan.
You got
the Donny Osmond pipes combined with this like there's comedy in it, so it's like all these guys and they don't realize that Mulan's like actually a woman that's like able to kick their cans, and it's like I don't know, it's like she can do all the things that they could do. It's a great message, great song, and if you don't know it and don't remember it, I mean a song slaps. The song absolutely bumps the entire time.
All right,
that's my pick.
All right, well that's our top five Disney songs. We're gonna be throwing some more silly segments in here along the way, especially as we get in dry season. Is that Mick?
Yeah, Michaela agrees.
We don't get enough dog participation in the show. My dog Finn is usually pretty quiet when I'm recording. Mick is usually pretty quiet. So Mick agrees with Jordan's number one. All right. That's going to do it for us today on the podcast. Thanks everybody for listening. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Sneaky Joe Sports, trying to get to 10,000 followers. We got to get Jordan up to at least 500. Come on guys. Like he needs to get into four digits really pretty soon here. At JR Hanskin to follow Jordan, and then at Locked On Sabres if you want to follow the podcast account. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Sabres podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.